About a year ago, I had the privilege of going up to Oregon. I haven't been in Oregon very much before. I think I'd visited once when I was in high school. Came all the way from the Midwest and came out and visited just for a weekend. But I spent a long weekend in Oregon last summer. I was there for a swim race, and then after the race was done, I ended up driving up about an hour north of Medford, where my race was, to Crater Lake National Park. Have you heard of this? Growing up, I had seen pictures of this park. My father used to subscribe to National Geographic, and I remember seeing this lake in National Geographic, color pictures of this lake, and it's like, it looked like a crater, and it was kind of higher up, and this blue water, it looked pretty amazing. So I was like, I gotta go check this out. I wanna go see it. And I did a hike that took me all the way down to the water. And here's a picture of Crater Lake. Take a look at it. I mean, is that not stunning or what? I mean, look at that water. It's so blue. And when you get down to the actual level where the water is, you can see it's so clear. And this is some of the deepest blue water I had ever seen, whether lake or ocean, and crystal clear water. I even jumped in, but only for like 30 seconds because it was cold. But it's absolutely stunning. But again, the picture, like a lot of places, if you see pictures of them versus if you're actually there, the picture just doesn't quite do it justice, does it? You know, when you're there and you get to just see it yourself with your very own eyes. There's something just incredible about being there and seeing it yourself in person. We come to a passage in the Gospel according to Luke where we see someone encounter the newborn Jesus for the first time. Someone who had been waiting eagerly, much of his life actually. He's an elderly man. He had been told by the Lord that Jesus was coming, but seeing Jesus in person, seeing Jesus with his very own eyes, moved this man to worship. And he expresses this by saying to the Lord, "My eyes have seen your salvation." What? Why does he say this? And what does it mean? And what kind of response might we have to this very same Jesus? Let's look here. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. Before we do, would you please join me in prayer? Lord, thanks for including this passage in your word, because you have something profound that you want to teach us about who you are and what you do. And so, God, we thank you, and we pray that our eyes would be open, our ears would be open to see and hear what you want to show us today from your word, that we might be transformed by the power of your Spirit, love, grace, and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 2, 22 through 38, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. "And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her first husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. We can express the primary point of what we see in this section of Scripture in this way. Jesus is the Christ who brings salvation to the nations. Let's look at the details of this passage that develop that primary point, and then we'll come to some applications to our lives at the end. Jesus is circumcised and named on the eighth day, we saw at the end of our section last week in verse 21. Jesus was circumcised, he's named on the eighth day. And what we continue to see here as we come to verse 22 is next that Mary and Joseph, they're very sincere, devout followers of their faith in God. That is brought out and emphasized here in this section of just how they are obedient to the tradition, the customs of the law, the things that God had established that they were to do. They are faithfully following through with those because they were following the law that was given through Moses. And it was said in the law that there was to be a period of purification after the birth of the child. And from Leviticus 12, 2 through 8, we know that this was a period of 7 days of being unclean and then 33 days of being confined before journeying to the temple to offer sacrifice. So we're looking at least 40 days until after Christ was born, and they're journeying to the temple to offer sacrifice, just as the Lord had said. Now, a lamb was to be offered for a burnt offering, and a turtle dove as a sin offering. If someone could not afford a lamb, then the sacrifice was to be 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Look what our text says. Our text tells us that they had certainly the turtle doves and the pigeons, right? So they had certainly, that indicates that they were not necessarily of means. They had a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. So they didn't have a lamb because they weren't wealthy. They were very humble people that didn't have a lot materially. And so since this is what is offered, we know they're common everyday people who aren't basically wealthy. Now, this accentuates even more the humble circumstances by which the Son of God came into the world. I mean, think about that. God could have come, you know, been born the son of a king. I mean, an earthly king. You know, he was the son of the King of Kings. Yeah, but, you know, he comes to this everyday family that can't even afford a lamb after the birth of their firstborn son. And we see the humility of God again. Not only was he born with animals and laid in a manger, his family did not have much financially. After this period of purification, Joseph and Mary follow the law to go to Jerusalem to make this offering. And while they're there, they are also they plan to dedicate Jesus to the Lord. And notice that Jesus is not baptized here, okay? But rather he's dedicated to the Lord as the firstborn. And this, again, follows the law from Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. And from these points, we know that Joseph and Mary, again, they're devout, they're faithfully following the law that God had given to Moses. They are sincere and seeking to obey what God had commanded. But as they enter the temple, something happens that tells us more about the significance of who Jesus is. We are told beginning in verse 25 about a devout and righteous old man named Simeon. He was someone who had eagerly been looking and waiting for the expected Messiah to come, as had been promised from the Old Testament scriptures. We're told that the Holy Spirit is upon this man. In fact, the Holy Spirit had even prophetically revealed to him that he would not die before he himself, with his very own eyes, saw the Lord's Christ. Let's talk for a moment about the word Christ. Christ literally means anointed one, which refers to the practice of someone being anointed with oil for a special office or position such as a king or a priest. The anointing symbolized a commissioning from God, and that God was appointing this person to a specific task, a special task. And it also symbolized the empowerment of God through the Holy Spirit for what God was calling that person to do. The word Christ was used to translate the Hebrew word that is often referred to as Messiah. And so the Christ then, the Messiah, was to be the deliverer of God's people who would bring people salvation. So when the word Christ is used here, it is used as a title to refer to the Messiah, the one who would bring salvation. This is why we call Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. So God had revealed through the Holy Spirit that Simeon would see the Christ. So here comes Joseph and Mary into the temple. Can you imagine this? I mean, you come in, you're excited to do what God had commanded you to do, to bring your child in, to have him dedicated to the Lord. And here comes Simeon, this priest, led by the Holy Spirit, as verse 27 says, said he just takes Jesus into his arms and he blesses God. I'm imagining him doing this fairly exuberantly, with enthusiasm, with great joy, with excitement. He blesses God beginning in verse 29. And we see in this blessing further confirmation of who Jesus is and what he will do. Listen to Simeon's prayer and his blessing here. We see first and foremost that Jesus is the Christ here. Simeon says, now he can depart in peace, meaning he can die, because God has fulfilled what he promised. Simeon is praying to God and thanking God that God has fulfilled what he promised to him. Simeon knew, because God revealed to him, that he would not die until he had, in fact, literally physically seen with his own eyes the Christ, and he gets to do this. Simeon's prayer of blessing continues, and it emphasizes that Jesus is the Christ who will bring salvation to the nations. Simeon tells God, my eyes have seen your salvation. This salvation is found in this child, in Jesus, as verse 32 says. This salvation is a light of revelation to the Gentiles,